About 10 years ago, Patricia Cornwell wrote a best-selling novel called The Body Farm. The Body Farm's a real place. It's the anthropology research facility at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And it's the only place in the world devoted to the study of human decomposition, which would explain the human bodies hidden in the woods, locked in the trunks and back seats of cars, and decaying in the open air. Dr. Bill Bass is the founder of the Body Farm. He's also one of the world's leading forensic scientists and the co-author of a book called Death's Acre, Inside the Legendary Forensic Lab, The Body Farm, Where the Dead Do Tell Tales. Dr. Bass told Steve Paulson how he started the Body Farm.
I went to the dean in the fall of 1971 here at the University of Tennessee, and I said, "Dean, I need some land to put dead bodies on. I need to begin to do some research."
You just wanted to scatter them around in the woods and see how they decomposed?
Well, essentially. I mean, you know, I didn't know anything about decomposition at all. And they really, you know, oddly enough, this is only 32 years ago. There really wasn't much in the literature at that time. For example, I kind of wanted to know, well, how long did it take the right arm to fall off approach? Now, your decomposition rate is based on temperature. You decay much faster in Florida than you do in Wisconsin. Tennessee's kind of in the middle. But what we did, we established the sequence of events that occur as a body decays. Now, that sequence is standard all over the world. It's speeded up in warm climates. It's slowed down in cold climates.
What is the sequence?
The sequence is when an individual dies, very rapidly do the enzymes in the digestive system begin to attack the soft tissues. And this begins a process known as putrefaction. And you begin to decay from the inside out. This is the fresh stage. Now, the fresh stage, you're having this decay process go on. There are smells that are given off from the body that attract critters. The first of the critters to be attracted to a decaying body are the blowflies. These are the green and blue iridescent flies that will come and lay their eggs. The eggs hatch into what are called maggots, and the maggots will eat away on the decaying tissue. Now, from the fresh stage, you go to what is called bloat, and this is where the putrefaction on the inside of the body has caused gases to build up in the digestive system. The abdominal area will bloat. Those people in the funeral industry, you will get what you call purge, which is the forcing of blood and other liquids out of the mouth and out of the openings in the digestive system. And you go through then the bloat stage, and then you go through the active decay stage. This is where the maggots are destroying the soft tissue, getting the body down to the skeletal remains. And the last stage in that decay process is called dry. This is where the only thing you have left are the dry skeletal remains or maybe mummified tissue, depending on the environmental condition in which the body decayed.
So you have various dead bodies, human bodies, dotted around the hillside at your body farm, which is part of the University of Tennessee, in various states of decomposition.
That's correct. At any given time, there are probably between 20 and about 40 bodies out there.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how this works then. If you see maggots on a body and they've eaten the body away to a certain point, you can then figure out how long that body has been dead?
Yes. Let's assume that you are a medical examiner or a law enforcement officer, and you get to the scene and you want to know how long that body's been there. What you want to do is to collect the largest maggots. The largest maggots represent the earliest hatch because the maggots will be hatching every day for about a week's period of time. Now, maggots go through a growth process. This is what the entomologists call instars. You have the first instar, the second instar, and the third instar. Now, I lecture 100 times a year for law enforcement agents, and I found it, not another academic term, you know. And so they'll turn off instars. And I said, look, don't worry about instars. Look at it this way, that the maggot grows until you have a teenage maggot and you have a young adult maggot and you have an old adult maggot. Now, when the old adult maggot reaches a stage that it needs to metamorphose, that means it needs to change from the worm to the fly stage. It will leave the body. It will seek a dark place. It will encase itself in a pupa case, which is a kind of a dark brown case that's resistant to decay, and the metamorphosis will occur. Now, from a normal 90-degree day in the summer, from the laying of the egg through the first, second, third instar to the pupa case takes about 14 days.
Can you tell me about a couple of the cases you've worked on and how this medical knowledge has come into play to crack the cases?
In the book, there's one that is really good. We have a 34-year-old white male from New England who went to Monterey, Mexico. He and a friend, this friend being an ex-Connecticut state trooper, they go to Monterey and they rent a Chevrolet Suburban. A few days after they're down there, they find the Chevrolet Suburban burned outside of Monterey, and there is a cremated body in the driver's seat. The friend, the ex-Connecticut state trooper, goes to the Mexican authorities and said that his friend, the 34-year-old white male, was the person that rented this Suburban. He's the only one that drove it. Would they give him some of his bones to take back to the United States to bury? And so they do. They gave him, I think, part of the femur being the bone in the upper leg. Now, time goes by, and the 34-year-old white male has a $7 million insurance policy. And the insurance company doesn't want to pay unless you can make a positive identification. So they call me and ask if I thought I could help. And I said, well, I think I can. What you need to do is to go down and excavate that Chevrolet Suburban. Go down and apply to a modern forensic situation archaeological techniques that you would learn if you were going to excavate Chippewa site in Wisconsin or a Cherokee site in North Carolina or whatever. So I go down, and the Chevrolet Suburban has been taken over to the police impound lot. And I excavate the car, find bones, and the bones, it's going to be too long to explain here, but the bones are of a 60-plus-year-old Mexican peasant. Hmm. So it's not the 34-year-old white male. So I write my report to the insurance company, and insurance company in their legalese says, you know, our insured was not in the car when it burned, so we're not going to pay this policy. Now, the wife was the beneficiary of the policy, and so she hires a lawyer to sue the insurance company. And 14 months after I wrote my report, the guy who tried to fake his death was found working as a financial planner in Boston. So that's where the knowledge that I learned at the body farm and looking at all the things that I've been have taught over the years, you're bringing at the bear on a modern situation that really affects all of us. If you own a car and you own insurance, part of that insurance you pay is to cover fraud like this. And if we can cut down on the fraud as much as we can, we're helping all of us that way.
One thing I'm curious about is whether your work in forensic anthropology has affected in any way your view of death.
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know that I've got an answer to that. I'm 75, and I'm closer to death than I was when I was 50, obviously. But I can't say that I'm looking forward to that time at all. I've got too many other things to do. I've got a lot of more research. I've got to figure out what's going on and so forth. In the book, Death's Acre, near the end of the book, you will see that I have lost two wives to cancer. I hate death. I hate funerals. I dislike mourning intensely. But interesting, Steve, I never see a forensic case as a dead body. I see a forensic case as a challenge to me scientifically. Can I figure out who that is and what happened to him?
Dr. Bill Bass. He's the co-author of Death's Acre, Inside the Legendary Forensic Lab, The Body Farm, where the dead do tell tales.